Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Something for you to do. Seek ye first. Seek ye first. And all these things. And I hear it from both sides. I watched a guy yesterday on, and he just went right down the line, and he took pastor after pastor, denounced them and why they were in heresy because they believed that they can prosper. What are you going to do with this verse? It says, and all these things shall be added unto you. I am living proof. If you will obey the word of God, if you'll seek the word of God, you will be blessed. And God will add all these things. Not some, but all of these things. Get your hopes up. We talk about that all the time. Get your hopes up. But some people are expecting way too much. You know, when I was a young boy, I was an entrepreneur when I was a kid. Because I picked up what, in the North, we didn't call them soda bottles, we called them pop bottles. I picked up empty pop bottles and took them to the store, and for every one I returned, they gave me 2 cents. And I hated it when they did away with those glass bottles. That was my business. Wouldn't give you anything for the aluminum cans. But I loved it when I could take my soda bottles, my pop bottles, and get 2 cents, because I'd take a lot of them. Sometimes I'd get maybe $2 or so. I have a lot of them. It was my business. And then I mowed yards. And so I've always made that effort. And so I had hopes up. But if it was because I was making an investment. Remember this, no deposit, no return. No deposit, no return. So you can take all the Coke bottles and all the soda bottles and all the pop bottles back to HEB today, and they won't give you a penny for them because there's not a deposit on them. No deposit, no return. And if you deposit nothing in the kingdom of God, to get your hopes up is a heresy, because you're not going to get a return because you didn't deposit anything. So some people are expecting too much, and some people are not expecting enough. And some people are like the bear. They're expecting just right. They are depositing in the kingdom of God, and they're expecting returns, and they are getting it. But some people expect too much because they're not firsters. They're not seeking the kingdom of God first. And the kingdom of God has to be sought first, not second, or third, or fifth, or tenth. It is seek ye first the kingdom of God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Most people are eliminated from the favor of God. God does favor people. You say, oh, wait just a minute. The Bible said God is no respecter of persons. That's exactly right. We all start from the same place. We all start from ground zero. But our deposit, our investment, our actions will determine whether God favors us or not. There's a reason why God said that he loved Jacob and hated Esau. Esau had every opportunity, but he availed himself to none of them. Jacob started with no opportunity, but he availed himself to everything. There is a reason why God favors people. It's not because of the color of your skin, your age. It's not because of your sex. It's not because of your smile. It's because you have responded to him and you're seeking the Lord and his kingdom. So most people are eliminated from the favor of God and God's rewards by 3 things. Number one, they don't believe that he is. Some people just don't believe there's a God. I see him all the time. I saw a man yesterday from L.A. I think he's the D.A. in L.A. But anyway, he's a politician in L.A. And he said, I can promise you that students that are or children that are raised without Jesus Christ will be better citizens than those that are raised believing in Jesus Christ. He said, there is no Christ. There is no God. And so, number one, he's eliminated from the favor of God because he doesn't believe that there is a God. Second, many people are eliminated from God's favor because they don't believe he is a rewarder. They do not believe that if you make a deposit, you get a return. That's contrary to the scripture. The Bible teaches that so vehemently that if you deposit, you get a return. If you invest, you get the return from that investment. And number three, they do not diligently seek him. So number one, you got to believe God is. Number two, you got to believe that he's a rewarder. And number three, you have to understand that you must seek him. It don't happen just because you showed up. It don't happen just because you were born. Because of the cut of your jowl, the smile on your face. It's, do you seek the Lord with diligence? Diligence means constant and earnest effort to accomplish what is undertaken. Persistent exertion of body and mind. I seek the Lord diligently. How do you do that? By searching the Word of God. The Bible teaches me to search the Word of God. By prayer. And to pray without ceasing adds to that. To be in constant communication with the Lord. By coming to his house. By being his disciple. By not wearing it on your wrist, but being in your heart. What would Jesus do? How would he treat this person? These are ways that you seek God diligently. People that are not first seekers and diligent seekers, they will be the greatest, they will be the most jealous and the greatest critics of those people that are rewarded. If you get blessed by God, you're going to have a whole new array of enemies because they don't believe in God. They don't believe God is a rewarder. They don't diligently seek the Lord. And when you do and you get blessed, they're going to hate you. They're going to hate your kids. They're going to hate your car. They're going to hate your house. They're going to hate your career. They're going to hate your education. And they're going to say, she thinks she's something. Oh, no, she doesn't think she knows she's something. Because she's not a grasshopper. She's a child of the living God. She's a son of God. He's a son of God. But you're going to have tremendous critics. Tremendous critics. You know, and I don't agree with any preacher all the time. And that's including me. There's been many times, Warren, where I said, I wished I hadn't done that. That means I didn't agree with myself. Later, I wished I hadn't said that. I wished I hadn't treated that person that way. So I don't agree with any preachers all the time. But I see good in most of them. In fact, all these Spirit-filled preachers, I don't always agree with them, but I don't question their motivation, and they're doing a lot of good things. And so Joel Osteen is the most criticized of all, and he is so blessed. But I know Joe personally, have been many, many conversations with Joel, and I don't know how he does it. That guy is totally oblivious of his critics. Friend, I'm going to tell you, when you start being favored by God, you're going to have critics, but that doesn't give you the right to double your fist and hit him in the nose. You've got to become oblivious to your critics. And that's tough. He told me the first year or two that he pastored Lakewood, he said, people that have been there years, our biggest supporters, would meet me in the foyer and say, you sure not as good as your daddy? That wasn't very good today, Joel. You're going to have to do better. He said, they just met me every Sunday with that face to face. And he said, I learned to smile and bless them and not change one thing. Friend, once you've set your face toward like a flint toward Jerusalem, you can't change anything. You got to say, I'm not going to change. I'm seeking the Lord diligently, and the favor of God has begun on me, but I want to increase it. And so the critics and the people that are jealous, they're jealous of your rewards because you did and are doing what the Word of God says. You're blessed coming in and you're going out. And then when we talk about the Word of God, we talk about first, there's a whole series. I'm not even going to get into it today. I've got it all in my notes, but I don't have time. But it talks about first fruits. First fruits. What does that mean? That's in the harvest when they brought their first harvest to the Lord. It's not tithe. There is no designated amount. Tithe is a 10%. First fruits is what you decide, but it's the first thing that you give to the Lord. The tithe in the New Testament is 10%. In the Old Testament, it's 10%. First fruits is simply what you bring to the Lord. And so God wants you to be blessed, and he wants you to be blessed greatly. But in order to do that, you have to seek the Lord first, not second. Say, well, I want to do that. Let's just talk about a short menu of first that we as Christians should have on our plate. Number one, first love. If we're going to seek the Lord first, it takes first love. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. That's Revelation 2:4. What does that mean? If you really got saved, it was a glorious experience. It was an emotional experience. Some of you have fallen in love with your spouse when you were young or maybe a little older, and you found this person you loved. It affected your behavior. You talked about the person incessantly to people that were not even interested. You brought them gifts. You showered them with affections. They were on your in your thoughts and on your mind consistently. That was love. But your love for the Lord has to be greater for that and even for your spouse. If you really get saved, you will have a love for the Lord. It's not God's love that saves you. It's your love for God. Because if it was only God's love, everybody would be saved. For God so loved the world. Everybody. But we have to be recipient. And so the first thing, if we're going to seek the kingdom of God first, and we're going to obtain the favor of God, we've got to be God lovers. And if you are a God lover, you will love the things that God loves. What does God love? The Bible said that He loves the church. He loved the church that He gave His life so much for it. He compares it to a marriage. And so people say that I'm a free agent, child of God. I don't have any relationship with the church, but I love God. No, you don't. Not according to the Word of God. We can't judge it by your thoughts, your consensus, your commentary, your words. It's what does the Word of God say? It tells us that God loves His church. And so if you are going to have first love, and He said, I have somewhat against you because you've left your first love. People say, well, I don't go to church anymore, but I still love the Lord. No, you don't. Your love has dwindled, because if you have your first love, you would be acting like you did when you first fell in love with the Lord. You will love God's house. You will love the things of God. You will love God's word. You will love God's church. You will love God's people. I love God's people. Becky will tell you, when we used to travel, even if we were not preaching in a city, and I'd go to a city, I would drive around and look at empty church buildings. I'd say, I think there's a church here. It'd be Monday afternoon. There wasn't going to church. I just wanted to see where the people of God gathered. And I'm still that way. I still go online and look at church buildings and look at congregations of people that I don't know. I just know they're in a certain city. And I know they're my brothers and sisters that I haven't met yet, that I'm going to know one day in heaven. I love God's church. I love God's people. I give to a lot of things that are not church. I give to different ministries, different outreaches that help soldiers, that help children, that help people in sickness. I send checks to those people regularly. But the major thing I do is I give to the Church of the Living God. For it's great to help a child get over cancer. It's great to help a person that has been wounded in the service of our country to have a more normal life. But the best thing I can do is give to the kingdom of God, that somebody will be won to Christ. Because this world, no matter what it is short. It's short. But if you're saved or lost, that's eternal. And so the best thing I give to, and the thing that I give to most, is the Church of the Living God. Just believing that God is going to, that God is able. And so I stand all the time on God's word and say, I realize that if I am going to seek God first, I've got to be a lover. I've got to get back to my first love. And I can tell you that I am more in love with Jesus today than I was when I was saved at 10 years of age. I just didn't have the comprehension. was 10 years old. I felt the Spirit. I felt the drawing. I gave my heart to the Lord. But I didn't understand salvation. I didn't understand how much God loved me. I didn't understand the sacrifice that Christ made. I didn't understand what life was about. But now I've lived all these years, and it has increased my love for Him because He first loved me while I was yet a sinner. And so the second thing we have to have if we're going to seek God first is not just first love, but first faith. 1 Timothy 5:12, having damnation, he said, you're damned. They are damned because they have cast off their first faith. First faith. You know where you will learn a lot of doubt? In church. If you go to the wrong church, you're going to learn a lot of doubt. When I go through online and look at preachers, I'm appalled. I am appalled at what they say against God and what they say about God. And if I were to dwell on that on a regular basis, if I went and sat an hour a week and listened to what they're saying, I wouldn't have first faith. Ladies and gentlemen, I work on my faith. I'm a person of faith. Except you become as a little child. I have to work on my flesh all the time because your flesh is opposed to faith. Your flesh wants nothing but senses, what it can see, what it can know, what it can feel. That's what your flesh wants. But my faith has to be greater than that. So I have to go back to my first faith. What is it? That's childlike faith. The reason why Jesus said, except you become as a little child, just believing that God can do anything. You don't really believe that, do you? A friend of mine was in a banker's office, and he asked him a question. He said, well, the Bible teaches if you sow, you'll reap. And that banker said, you know that's not true. That banker didn't believe that if you sowed, you'd reap. But he had to overcome that. He had to overcome his banker's logic in order to be a person of faith. I'm not going to get much faith from bankers and lawyers and accountants. I'm not going to get much faith from people in this world, newscasters and politicians. I have to work on myself. I have to humble myself. That's what it means about, say, well, how do I become humble? Become like a little child. Become like a little child. When you get an education, when you've got a PhD or a master's or a bachelor's degree, and you've gone through some things, and you've succeeded, and you've overcome, and you're doing better than your cousins, and better than your siblings, and doing better than your parents, there's a real temptation to say, well, I've really done well. And if you do that, you start depending on your flesh. But you have to bring your flesh under and say, oh, I don't want damnation. I want favor. And so I'm going to put my faith in God. I'm going to say, this happened in my life because God did it, not because I did it, not because I'm smarter than somebody else, not because I outmaneuvered somebody else, not because I'm such a charming personality. That's not the reason why I got this raise and this position. It's because the Lord is on my side, and He knows how to bring one down, and He knows how to raise one up. And so the Lord has favored me, and so I have got first love. I love the Lord more now than ever. My love is not waxing cold. My love is increasing more and more as I see the day approaching, as I see this world and its terrible turmoil and what's going on. And I realize the day of the Lord is approaching. My love is increasing, but also is my faith. I'm believing that God is, that He is a rewarder. I'm believing that I'm surrounded by Him. I don't believe that God's going to leave me nor forsake me. I believe that the Lord is going to provide my every need. I believe the Lord's always going to make a way for me. I believe the Lord's going to prepare a table in the prayer. That's just my faith. I believe that I'm going to be in divine health. And people keep saying, well, at your age, I'm saying, praise God, I'm in Jesus. I'm in Jesus. I'm in Jesus. You know, Jesus specializes in agelessness. They said, this is the best wine. Wine is only great when it is aged. But the wine that Jesus served was ageless, and it was still the best. And so you might be 75 years of age, and somebody said, well, it's over for you. Oh, no, you are serving a God that is ageless, and he specializes in agelessness, which means your 75th year can be better than your 74th or your 24th, because you are trusting God. And God will make a way. You say, well, I'm on a fixed income now. I'm never going to say that about myself as long as I live. I'm not on a fixed income. I'm on a variable income, because my God is able to bring blessings to me in ways that I've never even thought about. And you need to start trusting not in the sweat of your face, not in your education, not in your job, but say, praise God, the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my favor. The Lord is my way. And I have got first love, and I have got first faith. And I hear it talked about all the time. The dirtiest word in Christianity is works. Oh, that's just works, brother. You go to church, that's works. You tithe, that's works. You get baptized, that's works. You get the Holy Ghost, that's works. Everything's works. Everything's works. So we're under grace, and so there are no works. Well, I have a little problem with that, because Jesus said in Revelation 2 and 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent. Repentance is works, they say. And do the first works. Jesus said, do your first works, or else I will come to thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. Do you ever repent? Paul said, I die daily. They didn't have a funeral for Paul every day. He wasn't talking about physically dying. He was talking about repentance. Repentance is dying to your flesh. I'm doing the best I can, but every day I fail in some area of my life. And so I can tell you that repentance is a part of my daily relationship with the Lord. You say, well, what do you do? I was in a prayer room one time, and I heard a guy, and he just got saved. He was a real smart guy. He was from here in San Antonio, but I was in Austin. He was brilliant. He was highly educated, and he'd come from a background of wealth. But I was in the prayer room with him one time, and I heard him pray, and I never forgot it. He said, God, forgive me today for being such a Gentile. And when he said that, I knew exactly what he meant. I knew exactly what he meant. It's hard to express if you don't understand the scriptures. But I repent every day for being a Gentile. In other words, just being a fleshly person and listening to my fleshly impulses all the time. I have to repent of that. And I say, God, I do not want to be what this flesh wants me to be. I want to be blessed of the Lord. And so I seek you first, God. And one of the things that I do is I seek every day, God, my first love for you. I seek my first faith, but I also seek my first works. Doing over again, repenting to the Lord and saying, God, I'm sorry for my failure. Oh, the Lord has blessed me. I am covered by His grace in the hollow of His hands, but I'm still living in a fleshly body. I've said things. You know, I let me just tell you this story. There was a man coming to this church. He was an awesome guy. He did something that hurt me very badly. And so on the phone, I didn't say, don't come back to church. I said, I don't want to be your pastor no more. Find you a new pastor. And it crushed him. I got a letter from his wife. I got a letter from his sister. I got a letter from him. He never came back. He left this church. I said that was because I was hurt. But I've repented of that. I didn't have any contact with him. I saw him in a restaurant a couple of months ago. He was with some people. And I said, it's now or never. I walked up to him and I said, "Brother, I repent for saying I didn't want to be your pastor. I apologize. I owe you." He said, "You sure do." He wasn't very kind to accept my apology. He kind of told me off a little bit. But I said, "I want to repent." And I think about the guy every day. And I think the Lord used that as a lesson to me. You got to guard your mouth. You got to be real careful what you say. You got to be real careful of how you handle people. And the more authority God gives you, the more authority, the more careful you need to be, because people place more confidence in what you say. They put more confidence in what you say than they do maybe the lady that checked them out at HEB. If you're an usher, or if you're a brother in the church, particularly if you're a leader or you're a pastor. And so I repented to him, and I've repented to the Lord. I didn't do good. It was said not out of hatefulness, it was said out of hurt. I don't want to be your pastor anymore. And I'd pastored him for years. And I'm not sure, I hope he's forgiven me. But it altered his life forever. You say, why is that important? Because I'm seeking first the kingdom of God. I'm not swayed by what the latest trend is from television preachers. I'm not swayed by what's coming from the White House or the State House. I'm not swayed by what's happening across town. Every day I'm seeking God. God, I want to be more like you for a variety of reasons. Number one, I'll be able to serve people better. Number two, I will receive the favor of the Lord. God has blessed me way above my discipleship. God has blessed me. And sometimes I look at God and I say, God, I can't believe that you're blessing me like you are. No better than I'm doing. I'm trying. But God, I'm still flesh. But God has blessed me. But ladies and gentlemen, I promise you, there is a place of favor that a born-again Christian can have where God will add all of these things. I've been broke. I ain't broke no more. If I never got, and I don't want to say that. I'm not broke no more. God's got me fixed.